Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I want to come to you about this morning about something else that's taking place in the news, you know, God's news behind the news. I mean, there's so many things going on, and we talked yesterday about, you know, what's happening in the financial arena and all that. We'll talk more about it. And those prophetic words are available at the VFN TV blog. And you can find those out. You need to review those and look at them and kind of have them in your heart. But understand this, that repentance, you know, and we're talking about it all the time, because the whole thing is Jesus said, this is what he said to go do. He said, you know, that we're supposed to go and preach repentance. That's mm-hmm. what you know.
Right.
And repentance has fruit, you know, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have something that I've talked about in the past called fruitless wonders. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have a talent, and they can do all this talent. They can work that talent,
mm-hmm.
but they're fruitless,
right?
You know? And so, you know, call them fruitless wonders. But Jesus just said, you're wicked. Cause he said, you know, many people are going to come to me in the last days and said, were we not wonders?
mm-hmm.
Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? You know, and all these gifts were used. And so many people think that using their gift is a fruit. And if using our gifts were fruit, Pat, mm-hmm. if the fact that I prophesied,
right,
or the fact that I taught, you know, and taught deep mysteries,
mm-hmm.
or the fact that, you know, I cast the demon out, you know, in the name of Jesus, and the demons come out, you know, if that proved that I had the right relationship with God, then these guys would not have said to them, away from me, you evildoers. I knew you not. I don't even know you.
That's right.
You know, and, VFN radio, you're going to be able to read your Bible and believe the full context of it, because that's what we're like Josiah. Mm-hmm. We understand we need God's mercy in it, but, you know, the letters in Revelation was written to the church. It wasn't written to the world, and mm-hmm. it wasn't written to buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was written to the believers in a region like the Church of Ephesus, which means people that were followers of Jesus Christ in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells them in the letters, which is a prophecy, by the way, coming true, that that if you don't repent, you know, and it's like, repent, I said a prayer,
right?
You know, and he says, if you don't repent, you know, you'll end up in the same bed of suffering, or you'll be cut off, or I'll remove your lampstand. In all these different things that doesn't sound too good,
mm-mm.
you know. And if you're curious about what is really meant by that, everybody will eventually find out.
Yeah.
Because it's appointed once to die and then the reality of what God says.
Right.
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 And so this morning I want to talk about, in our extra hour, you know, about marriage, you know, and marriage, you know, is of the Lord. And we got to get God's perspective on it. We talked about, parenting in our first hour, and it's like, whoa, it's like rocking the place when you think about, oh my goodness, you know, there probably some people say they're coming after you because you're talking about God's way of disciplining, you know, and we were, you know, it's just like, you got to do what's right if you love your children, you know, and it doesn't mean your children are going to celebrate you if they're getting disciplined. It doesn't mean, you know, society's going to back you, worldly society's going to back you up. But as the church, we should back up, you know, fellow believers that are doing what's right in the Lord and how they raise their children. And understanding that we need to know that God has a perspective of marriage, you know, and we're looking at a perspective of marriage in with Benny Hinn, you know, Benny and Suzanne Hinn, that it's, you know, that you can see it on the VFN TV blog today, and you see some stories going around about, you know, their marriage. And what happened was, you know, for whatever reason they talk about it, that Suzanne had a file for divorce, and they ended up having divorce, and he continued in the ministry, but their marriage is being reconciled now, and it seems like they've been brought back together again. And they talk highly of it's happened. They're excited about it. You know, Benny's talking about it, and you can read his comments on the VFN TV blog. But it's important, you know, what is God's perspective of this? Because there's some sort of default statement that you hear in America right now. Because, you know, God designed marriage. He's the one that designed it. He's the one that established it. He's, you know, and it's, so we have to find out what his perspective is, because everything is switching on marriage. And it's gotten to the final, there's three, when you read Romans chapter 1, it talks about there's three phases of judgment. And these three phases, and it's about, as we talked earlier, maybe last week, about, you know, the judgments are meant to turn us back to God and bring us to a place of repentance. They're not, I'm not talking about, you know, the final judgment of that, but it's greater hardship that's happening to motivate us to make a right decision. And so, it's important what God's perspective of marriage is, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's getting all whacked out today, you know, and a lot of different things. I mean, it's amazing what's being said about marriage, but we got to go back and say, we got to check ourselves first and find out, you know, we're just saying, you know, marriage is between one man and one woman. But the thing is, we got to really think about that, but even in the context of marriage, you know, what does God say about that one man and that one woman? We can't, it's not just the fact that you're, you know, you've got two opposite genders that are together, therefore it's perfect. You know,
right?
You know, or, you know, I'm doing God a favor because I married somebody of the different gender than I am. You know, that's what it seems like. That's all they talk about. As long as it's a different gender,
right?
As long as you marry somebody that's not your same gender, that's of God. And it's like, well, you know, Ahab and Jezebel did that, and that one got,
yeah, that
you know
didn't
what I'm
work
saying?
Out.
It didn't
yeah.
work out too good. And so it matters who you marry, and it matters in the context of that. And first of all, I want to say it's exciting to see that Benny and Suzanne are able to get back together again, you know, and begin to walk that out and work it out. But we're going to read about, you know, a couple of scriptures and talk about what God's perspective is of marriage, you know, begin to just begin this conversation. And it's important because we just don't need to go, that's right, and all of a sudden we take on any kind of wrong mindsets. But we need to realize, you know, what does God's word say about marriage? So we'll be right back after this message. We'll talk about that. Well, you know, good news, as we talked about, is Benny Hinn and Suzanne Hinn are coming back together as a husband and wife. And they're on their journey back. And they said Benny says they've never been more in love. And they've gone through a journey. She talked about, you know, that she had some prescription medications that she was addicted to during that time. And it wasn't in her right mind during that time and all these different things. But there's one thing that's made out there in the statement that I want to talk about, because we want to talk about, you know, God's perspective of marriage, because it's so interesting. You know, people say, you need to get married, you know, and basically all I think today, if I just marry somebody of a different gender, everything's going to be okay. That's about what you hear, you know, just yeah. as long as it's a different gender. It's like, really? And so, and just like we talked about with parenting, you know, the world's saying something different, and the church is actually agreeing with the world about parenting. And we got to find out, you know, we can't agree if we want marriages that God blesses. If we want a marriage that's supposed to do what God says it's supposed to do. We got to find out what God says about marriage. What does His Word say about it? Because there's one statement that just kind of just sends alert signs out. You know, when you understand how things happen and all. But in His statement, as He's sharing what's taking place, in which we celebrate them coming back together again, He makes the statement that we hear so many times during that struggle that happens in a marriage, where you hear the statement made. And this was totally proven positive. We have somebody that's in part of the VFN family that, you know, God specifically showed them, you know, this statement being made. Mm. And when the statement was made, God actually set this person free.
Mm-hmm.
Because it got on them, because there was a leader in ministry that made the same statement, and it locked him down and locked his ability to do ministry. It locked his ability, locked him into something.
Right.
And we know what it locked him into. And so he prayed about it. You know, he got a word of knowledge. You know, he went to go pray about it. And as soon as he prayed about it, God showed him exactly when this statement was made, how it got on him. And as soon as he saw it, he goes, he was aware of it, and he, asked God to deliver him from the whole situation. And he literally heard a ripping. Mm-hmm. A ripping came off him. This thing off his back.
Right.
And set him free.
Wow.
And so when I see this statement, and you got to understand that, you know, if you are Joseph, you know, you're called by God, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But he had some troubles, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But the troubles weren't his design. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So you know, you're men and women of being man and woman. God doesn't mean that you're not going to be falsely accused, locked up, all these crazy things. You may have a marriage that works. You may have a marriage that doesn't work. You know, since the time of Adam and Eve, you know, how children respond or don't respond, how spouses respond, how churches respond, all these different things. I mean, you just, you know, in this life, you're going to have troubles, but cheer up, the Lord's overcome this life. But the statement that's made and that is made and it's being repeated is that he realized that he was married to his ministry. He was married to the ministry, and it should be God, mm-hmm. Family, and then ministry. And that just seems so right, so politically correct. And there's one other statement that was being said about this other situation was that a minister got up and said, I've been having an affair on my wife. Mm-hmm. Of course, the whole gathering goes, ooh, ah. And he goes, yeah, it's with the church. And it's like, really? Is that, what is God's, I mean, that sound, I mean, it really totally makes sense if you're the family, you're going like, I want him. I want her. They're mine. They need to do, you know, it makes sense mm-hmm. to you.
Right.
But the question is, does that make sense to God? Is that what God's word says? Is that what he says? You know what I'm saying? Is like, right. We're talking about repentance here. We're talking about, you know, that you can't sit here and demand from a culture who doesn't know God and a church that presently is going away from God's way of doing things to say, hey, this is marriage. You know, marriage is between one man and one woman. Why the actual context of that separate gender marriage is chaotic and unbiblical. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so you have people looking at a marriage and they're saying, that's what you're saying is for me, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, all the contention, all the strife and all the arguing and all that kind of stuff. But at least, and they're talking to their children, at least we're separate genders, you know? But this is the statement that he made. That statement that he made was, mm-hmm. you know, and what you hear when there's a wrestling going on between, you know, a man or woman of God, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden there's a shift that takes place in that ministry. And when ministry means this, you know, it means serving God and doing what he told you to do. Ministry is not what a lot of the American churches made it out to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you abide with God and you do what he says. You know, that's serving God, you know. Right. It's not what, you know. So when we talk about ministry, we're talking about, you know, following the Lord. And we've got to move along because we've got so much to talk about with this. But this statement's just like, oh, my goodness, I was so excited about it, and I am excited they're coming together. But if the clincher is that the destiny of God and the expectation of God is now put in third place, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, I wouldn't want to find myself in contention between God and a person. You know right. what I'm saying? Why would I ever place myself between God and that person? And then when that person says, I choose you before, you know, what God asks of me, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, really? Do you understand the consequences of that? What it's going to look like? I know we got a lot of stories about that, but so let's first find out what God says about it. You know, God's word says about this kind of mindset, because that's a common mindset in today's, because church has turned into a business. It's turned mm-hmm. into a building. It has a board of directors, and it's turned into everything but family, you know, and right. and to be, you know, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who do the will of my father. Jesus, don't you understand? That is your mother out there. That right. is your brother out there. They come before your ministry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to leave this house where I'm discipling you. And I'm going to have to come out there and go, my mother's outside right now. That would be the mindset, right?
Right, right. All right.
What did he do to her? He left her out there, didn't he?
He sure did.
I mean, he loves Mary.
Yeah.
He loved Mary, right? But left her outside. Okay. Sure anyway, so in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and listen, this is, I'm just talking about God's perspective here, because we're trying to convince a nation to define marriage, and we're totally, if we're acting out the definition of marriage opposite of what God's saying, they're going to use that against us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're going to use that against us. If we're only picking and choosing, you know, what part of God's word that we're going to follow, and then, you know, they're going to use that. They're going to use it against you. It's like, you know, you have the right to remain silent. He said, can't be used against you, right. That kind of thing. Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, my dear brothers, he's talking to the church. He says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so the very thing that we do as believers now, as believers, is we offer our body as a living sacrifice. And so that alone, the word, I mean, think about a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
A sacrifice is, I don't know, a victim, right? It's like, oh my goodness, like, you know, Jesus, that means if somebody punches me in one cheek and he goes, yep, turn the other cheek, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that means if he asks me to go a mile, I got to, yep, go 2 miles. Oh, Jesus, that means if they borrow from me, don't give it back. I got to, yep, let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like a sacrifice. It's like, oh, isn't that just a beautiful form of worship for me, right?
It's right.
And so it's not about, you know, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And he says, you know, unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself, you can have no part of me. That's not gender specific. It's not, it does not change when you get married. It doesn't change when you're a parent or you're a child. It's to each individual who professes to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, he says that, you know, God is a spirit, and he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Well, he just tells us right there in Romans 12:1, spiritual act of worship is obedience. It's following what he says about things. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how we worship him. I mean, you got people that just sing. I mean, you can even watch like, you know, Britain's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, and these different things, and they can sing, and it's just so beautiful. But true worship is not just using your gift. It's actually doing what's right with your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and which takes God's grace to do that. And then he goes on to say, he says in Romans 12:2, he says, be not conformed to the patterns, this culture, the way the world does things. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. And so then we're not supposed to be a subculture. We're not supposed to be in this world and act like it, and take their ways of doing things and then take it to another level. We're supposed to be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not looking to get along with the world. We're looking to win the world. We don't want to create an adversarial relationship with them, but we don't want to create an adversarial relationship with God. We don't want to offend God by saying, you know, coming against his way of doing things. And mm-hmm. So 1 Corinthians 7 just nails what marriage is, because marriage is like this. This is what marriage is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people like oatmeal and some people don't like oatmeal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you like oatmeal, eat it. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And if you don't like oatmeal, don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them sin, right?
That's right.
And the mindset is that the enemy has taken a marriage to men and women and lifted it over our marriage to Jesus Christ. And they begin to worship horizontal marriage, you know, mm-hmm. our marriage between a man and a woman, that God's letting it turn over to, you know, the three phases of judgment, Romans chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
instead of submitting our marriage to God,
mm-hmm.
and operating it and not being transformed to this world, but doing marriage his way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's and they're seeing it. I mean, the world and those that are in rebellion against God, when you profess that marriage is between a man and a woman, but you're operating not like I'm about to read right here and what we're hearing, then they're not going to want anything to do with that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and God will bless the other. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and he's talking about marriage here. Paul's talking about marriage. And verse 7, and he says, now, for the matter that you wrote me about. So they're writing about, you know, this marriage thing, you know, Paul, could you help us out with this thing?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're trying to figure it out, you know, because, you know, some of them have multiple wives. And, you know, back then you could just say, you know, write a little note and say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, you know,
right.
And put them out on the street. And next thing you know, they're walking on the street, the husband and the wife. And so he says, now for the matter you wrote about, is it good for a man not to marry? He says, read it again. He says, now for the matter you wrote me about, it is good for a man not to marry. Oh my goodness. these girls out here going like, oh my goodness, you're going to blow my fantasy out of the water. Well, no, it's not wrong to marry either. But we're talking about our loyalty to God, our loyalty to Jesus Christ, because he, this man and this woman, will answer alone before God. You won't answer with your spouse beside you or your prospective spouse beside you. You won't answer with your parent beside you or your child beside you. You won't answer with your shepherd or your pastor beside you. It's you alone. And so he's talking about that here. He says, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, it's like, my goodness, I mean, compared to today, you know, each man should have his own wife. And each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill the marital duties of the wife, and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except for mutual consent and for a time, for that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of the lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. So you don't want to, you know, this is not law we're talking about. He's just talking about, listen, let's try to work this thing out. He said, I wish that all of you were as I am, but each man has his own gift. One has this gift, another gift. Now to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, it is good for men to stay unmarried. What? Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. We're trying to snuff out this lie that says a husband or a wife should be worshipped above God,
right,
that man's marriage is to be worshipped above our marriage as the bride of Christ to the bridegroom, that our loyalty is to Jesus, and that your God would be my God, is what Ruth said to Naomi, right? And so now that he said, now to the unmarried and the widow, I say this. It is good for them to stay unmarried, as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. So he's going back and forth from his personal opinion, based on his experience, and then he's going what God is saying. A wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. In the context of that, you know, there's been 50% of the marriages in the church have ended in divorce. Understand, at whatever point we get this, you know, that we can repent and God will forgive us and restore us and begin, you know, again and quite often. And reality is not pretty. The kingdom of God is not pretty. So we're not talking about pretty here.
Right.
We're talking about grace and mercy. He said, to the rest I say this, I, not the Lord, so this is Paul talking, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through the wife and the unbelieving wife sanctified through the unbelieving husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, you know, and the problem is today we call everything a believer, you know, because they said a prayer somewhere, you know.
Right.
You know, a believer is somebody who actually walks in obedience to God. I mean, somebody that he says, you're really my disciples if you know my teachings and you follow them. You know what I'm saying? Teach them to, and if we say, I don't want to follow his teaching, I just want to proclaim his name, it's like, you're not a believer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He says, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances, but God has called us to peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? How do you know, husband, whether you'll save your wife? And what I always say is, you know, if you're going to marry that person, you know, and it's not wrong for you to do it, that, and you see where they're not walking with God, realize that he says, don't be unequally yoked. But, you know, God's not going to, you know, hold you and force you to do that, but realize this, that person's going to become your ministry.
Right.
You got to say, you know, we have so many people that are saying, I want to minister, but my spouse is like, you chose that person. You know, you could have chose not to be married. You could have chose to been equally yoked, but you chose that person. So that person, you know, has now become your ministry and you live a life in such a way that they're first. You can't skip over that ministry, you know, to be able to minister to them, which is great because they can be saved because of your ministry to them. He says, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in his life that the Lord assigned it to him, to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he's called? He should not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's command is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation he was when he was called. And he goes on and says here, he says in verse 25, he says, now about the virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of this present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Now he's talking to virgins. He says, are you married? He says, do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. That's very important. So nobody's saying anything that you should or shouldn't marry, you know, whatever choice that you do. And if you are a virgin that marries, if a virgin marries, she's not sinning. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you of this. I realize that we're going to have troubles. Troubles are going to come, and it's going to come more and more as time is moving on because of the way the world's seeing marriage. And we cannot go the way of the marriage of the world. We have to realize that, and that's what's going to contend with you is what happens in the culture, what the church is adapting to and not doing marriage God's way. He says you're going to have troubles, you know, and just for that alone, you're not only dealing with your own situations, but you obviously have others that you need to be able to help out. And he goes on and says, what I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they have none. And that's, you know, that totally confronts that statement, right?
Right.
He said, this is what I mean. I mean, he's talking about, he said, this is what I mean, brothers, that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they have none. Those who mourn as if they do not. Those who are happy as if they were not. And those who buy something as if it was not theirs to keep. Think about it. He's sitting here saying very specifically that it's not what that particular statement that's being made. We need to understand that. And I have highest regards for Benny, and I'm glad that he and Susanna are together, totally support it. But we're going to find out. You're hearing this news, you know, and you got to find out, because if not, then if you have the wrong perspective, you'll go back and say, listen, baby, you know, I'm going to leave ministry now. I'm going to quit my affair with the Bride of Christ, and I'm going to, you know, come back to you. And if she has the wrong spirit, she'll say, good, you know, submit to me over God. Mm. And the whole thing's flipped upside down, right?
Right.
And that's what's taking place right now, you know. And I don't know that situation, you know, there could be a lot of different meanings behind it. But this is a big question in people's mind right now, because if you've been fighting in regards to, you know, how marriage should be, and all of a sudden now, you know, you're being confronted with, you know, a minister, a man of God making this statement. And all of a sudden now you actually look, you're thinking, you know, is Paul wrong? Should we not live as if we're not married? You know,
right.
He says, live as if you're not,
right?
You know, which totally contradicts the very fact of saying, you know, I the statement that you hear sometimes when that battle goes on between, you know, I want attention, it's going to be about me and that type of thing. And we've heard some pretty wild things, haven't we?
Sure. Yeah.
Some things we can't even imagine.
or repeat.
But realize that's not. And we're talking about marriage. We're not talking about men and women. We're talking about if you choose to be married, this is the order. And he goes on to says 32. He says, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affair." How you can please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. And that's what you saw, you know, with that even situation with Vinny and Suzanne, that, I mean, he did, and will need to balance those two. You know, you'll need to balance, you know, this double responsibility. I mean, and he's right in talking about, I got to, you know, we're not right in neglecting our family. We don't. That's not right. Mm-hmm. But we're also not right in rearranging God's directive of us under anything other than God. You know, we all should be following God, you know, in the family of God. And he said, an unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, and that's very important, but that you may live in a right way, an undivided devotion to the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about, you know. Time is just so flying today, but, you know, your undevoted devotion to the Lord. And it boils down, you know, so he who marries a virgin, for example, or marries somebody, does right, but he who does not marry her even does better. Mm. And you can find out, you know, more about that, you know, an aspect of it. And then Ephesians chapter 5 goes on and says, and there's even order to that, that the husband will be the head of the wife like Christ is the head of the church, that the wife should submit or follow her husband. And the order, that's the order of God. You know, that's the order of God. You know, if, you know, if a wife doesn't, you know, it matters who you marry. So don't just marry anybody, you know, marry, you know, and don't marry a Christian, you know, marry a godly person, marry somebody mm-hmm. who will follow God. Cause you're going to, at some point you're going to be convicted and you know, you are when you're reading the word, you can only skip over different parts, you know, for so long till you have mm-hmm. to be confronted with the fact of that God says that I really should be following this man, you know, and my children are watching me, right. You know, not follow him and coming against his ways. And they're, and at the same time, I'm telling my children, you need to follow God. And they're going, you know, you don't follow God. You know, you don't follow dad. You don't follow what's happening here. And so they're not going to follow. And he says, you know, arguments only destroy those who listen. So I want to just encourage you, you know, as you hear that statement, it just sends alerts up, you know, to me in understanding that, you know, that we are the bride of Christ, all believers, men and women alike. You know, and we're not talking about marital bride, but we're the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the bridegroom. I mean, John the Baptist talked about it. Remember, John the Baptist says, you know, you yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. He said, the bride, which would be us, belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is in full joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That's us, you know, and he's talking about, he was preparing the way for Jesus to come. You know, and that's what he was doing in the wilderness. And so every one of us, if you're, say, for example, if you're a husband and wife and you're married, you both are the bride of Christ and Jesus is the bridegroom. And it's not in the sexual connotation. It's not like he's your lover, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's that mindset is that, so he is actually the head, your head, and we're to obey Jesus. We're to submit to him in everything as the bride. And he compares that to the marriage. He says, and your marriage should look just like that. And you're walking out a prophecy. When you have a marriage where the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church, and he loves her and she honors him and respects him and follows his leadership, then you're walking out what the church looks like before the bridegroom, Jesus. And he talks about it. And we're not going to have a lot of time to be able to go into it, but in Revelation chapter 21, he says, listen, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and then the sea was no longer. I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven with God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will live with them forever. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away their tears from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, crying or pain. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these are trustworthy words. And then all of a sudden in Revelation 19, he says, then I heard the sound of a great multitude, like the roar of a rushing water, like a loud pearls of thunder and shouting. It's like boom, boom, boom. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. Hallelujah, for our Lord God reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the wedding, church, the wedding of the Lamb has come. And his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. For fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Let me tell you something. That when you put yourself in competition and you say you deserve worship over God, whatever gender you are, But if you're in a marriage and you say that your husband shall worship you over worshiping Jesus, you're being used by the adversary to put yourself in contention between Jesus and his bride. And in like manner, if you are a husband and you're telling your wife that, you know, you will worship me in worthiness of it, the thing versus her following God. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're doing the same thing, but in the context of marriage, what we're saying right here, you know, Suzanne was, openly, you know, contending against his leadership and the direction that was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, even, you know, Vashti, even a secular, king knew that if he didn't, his advisors came to him and said, listen, if you don't deal with Vashti, who's openly doing this in front of everybody, then the whole nation's going to turn, right?
Right.
Well, in the church, we've got to openly talk about this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, you know, if you lead your marriage right, for example, as a man or a husband, it doesn't mean that your wife's going to follow you. But if you never lead, she never has the opportunity to follow you. And your children never have a chance to see if they actually, if God's way of doing things will work out or not, you know? And it's guaranteed. And so what we're seeing in the world demands, the world says this, that husbands are replaceable, that fathers are replaceable. But I got news for you, you know, that God says the husband's ahead of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church, and the fathers should train their children up in the way that they should go. I mean, that's what he says to do. And so we have a big, huge repentance turn here for all of us, because we have to be empowered again as the church to be the church, and we have to be family again, and we got to quit throwing our children off on other people to be able to teach our children about God. We need to be a living epistle to them, and we need to empower fathers again to be, we need to honor them, we need to respect them, we need to train them and empower them to be what God's called them to be, and we should honor the context of marriage. So, you know, in that perspective of marriage, you know, God's word plainly says that, never should and everybody's called into ministry. You know, we like to lift people up. We like to put them on pedestals, but everybody's the same. I mean, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out, you know, that, there's probably the ones that they're lifted up to the greatest places in heaven will be the people that people passed over and didn't even know about. You know, the grandmother that prayed endlessly for her grandchildren and nobody even knows about it, or prayed for a generation and nobody knows about her, but she'll be lifted up because of her humility. But this world demands, they go, that's right. The spirit of the church today, you know, is a spirit that says that's right. You know, it's God, it's a family, and it's ministry. And it's like, how can you divide God and service to God? You know, how can you divide obeying him? It's not like there's no such thing as, you know, you just have to it's all integrated. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, who is my family?
Right.
Yeah, who is my mother? Who is my brother? He didn't say, excuse me, guys, I got the number two showing up outside, so I got to go now. He left her standing outside. Mm-hmm. And it didn't mean he thought any less of her, but they thought he lost his mind.
Right.
They thought he had lost his mind, you know, that he hadn't eaten in a while. And they were coming to rescue him because they thought Jesus had lost his mind.
Yeah.
And eventually, by the way, they became believers. And you'll find out that, you know, they did. But at that point, they weren't. And so we got to, you know, what is God's perspective of this? Well, you know, God's perspective of it is that, you know, Benny Hinn is the head of Suzanne, like Christ is the head of the church. You know, and you know, she's to submit to him in everything. You know, and she chooses to marry him again because she filed for a divorce and it looks like they're going, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. Then God's word says, then she's saying, I will submit to him and everything. I'm not going to marry him if he submits to me. I'm not going to marry him if he goes the world's way of doing things. And his ministry has gone through deep challenge. He openly talks about it. You know, since this thing happened, you know, partners have been leaving and all these things have been going on and he's bleeding, if you would, mm-hmm. from that. But you know what? Just because you're bleeding and people are leaving you does not mean that you've done something wrong. You know, that's what happened to Jesus on the cross. Mm. We got to be careful under that pressure. When when things aren't going our way and it looks like things are bad, we don't take our ring and hand it over to somebody. We don't take your authority and say, okay, as long as you let me continue to minister, then it's like, what? Let you? You know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm just being frank with you. You know, we got to get God's perspective. We cannot sit here and tell America, you know, that the only thing about marriage is separate genders. You know, no, that's not true, because the word of God says this, that it's like oatmeal, right? It's just like you can do it or not do it. If you choose to marry, it's not sin. But if you choose not to marry, it's actually better because it's all about your devotion as the bride of Christ with Jesus, the bridegroom. That's what it's about. I got good news for you that everything the adversary's told you it was, it's not. You are not put on this earth to worship men. You're not put on this earth to worship a husband, to worship a wife, to worship children, or to worship parents. That's not why you're put on this earth. You're put on this earth to worship God and Him only. And to do that, it means to follow Him, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So I'm encouraged. I'm excited about them coming together. You're hearing this on the news. You know, what's God's perspective of it? But, you know, that one statement should make your spiritual ear stand up and say, wait a minute, that serving God, doing what God says to do, to abide with Him means to hear what He's saying and do what He says, then that is a primary over everything. But if I'm going to marry as a wife, if I'm a woman, and I'm going to marry this man who's committed to ministering for the Lord, then I'm going to submit to whatever his God's going to be my God. I'm going to go the way that he's leading. And if I don't want to do that, I don't need to marry him. You know, that's the way it works. And by the way, there's nothing more beautiful than wholehearted, good leadership, loving leadership, and true submission in someone's heart. It's the most beautiful thing that happens right there because they're both honoring each other in the context of that, and they're being very careful how they do that. And the way God's designed men very specifically that, you know, as a woman begins to honor her husband the way God would have her honor him and to submit to his leadership and to respect him, he feels what a woman feels when she actually gets love from somebody. And so he's feeling this awesome feelings of God's designed it that way. And he will release things your way that you're wanting and vice versa. And we have marriage seminars. We talk about that in Vine Seminars. You can find out more about that at vineseminars.org. But understand this, if we're going to tell the world how marriage is supposed to be, if we're going to point our fingers at them and tell them that they cannot marry or they shouldn't marry, and marriage is between this and we need an amendment, how about having some laws and some amendments that say that, you know, what God says about marriage? Mm. That it's not just a trump card, that it's between a man and a woman. It's actually between a godly man and a godly woman who, and marriage is good. It's not, it's good, but understand that it's wrong to do it the world's way. And so I just want to encourage this morning, you know, I'm totally not, you know, being, I'm just celebrating the fact that they've come back together, but so many, it's very tempting at times when things are going really bad. And there's nobody there better to help you out than somebody who actually was your adversary at one time. And they actually just show up and go, hey, you know what? I can help you out, right? And it's like, well, this sounds good. And next thing you know, sometimes we end up shifting. And those shifts sometimes will have a serious, serious consequences. And so I'm not saying anything. I'm excited about them coming together, you know, about that. But I'm going to give you God's perspective about marriage. You know, Benny Hinn, it's the head of Suzanne. If she chooses, then they're heading that direction. It's going to happen happier than they've ever been. But he is the head of that wife, like Christ is the head of the church, and she's to submit to Benny. And wherever God leads that whole situation where Benny's leading, then God would expect Suzanne to follow Benny. That's actually how it's supposed to be. And I'm excited about them coming together. I want to encourage you to live marriage God's way. Don't buy in to the world's way of doing things that says, you know, that it's all optional. Just as long as you're separate genders, then it's like some sort of, you can do whatever you want to in that. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.